About you, got everyone. This is Professor Amon-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former City Councilman for the City of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. We want to welcome you to the Conscious Corner, along with our co-host Joe Henrich, who will probably be joining us a little later, to this very, very, very unique program. First of all, we want to thank Brother Rashti Mascagni for providing us this platform with the Community Education Network to Zoomcast our programs, and we want to thank him and his family for, putting up the resources and everything to keep this network going, where we speak truth to the people, speak truth to ourselves, and speak truth to the enemy, because it's very important that we do that, and that we do deep thinking and critical thought on critical issues that affect us as an African people. We want to welcome Linda Shorter with her online museum and constant warrior, and used to be a partnership with Brother Ken Wilbekan in the Long Beach Press, as well as entrepreneur in Long Beach, where her and her brother Reginald Muhammad operated a bookstore and culture center. We want to welcome also Brother Mashinda out of Louisiana, longtime advocate for young people and for those that have social challenges, is a servant of goodwill and conscious. A person that is always learning and sharing that knowledge. The first, one thing you can do with knowledge is share it. The second is, brother, as I said, Joe Henrich, longtime educator, administrator for the Compton Unified School District and Linwood Unified School District, as well as the creator of the Unity Mule at Centennial Senior High School, where they show black and brown people working together, as well as the being the first head football coach for the Linwood Unified School District, and a committed historian of ancient and cultural, ancient history and culture of spirituality of black people in ancient times. And he's one of the prolific readers and studies and presenters of Maat, as well as Netherifu, whatever. I can't pronounce it sometimes. But anyway, I want to welcome my son, Amon Mandela Ra, known by his brand name Principal Ra, who is seeking to revolutionize education by saying that they need to give incentives to students to learn and to come to school like everybody else, get paid. Even the custodian, the security, the cafeteria workers, everybody gets paid, but the students, and they're getting paid for taking care of the students. So, yeah, he's on a mission, and he's going to share with that, as well as being an author of two books, School's Revolutionary Culture, as well as his book, Little City, Big Dreams, his recent book. He'll tell you how you can order that later on. I'm just proud of him and all my kids, but especially him for his tenacious activism and builder of a brand as well as a program that's nationwide. And he's one of the most sought-after speakers at professional academic professionals. Events where he just recently spoke at Los Angeles County Schools, as well as all over Dallas, New York, where he have contracts with schools to implement his revolutionary educational programs, as well as in his brand knowledge, which he'll be sharing with us. And I'm just elated with him. He also had brought into our family Amon Prince Ra, his son, his new age son, as well as his darling daughter, Journey, with a master of school and talent. I mean, she got some multi-talented young lady, and his wife, Danielle. They're a team. All four of them are a team, and they work together to keep his program going, and he works together to keep them going. So, without further delay, we're going to let brother, my son, Amin Mandela Ra, give you a presentation, and then we can ask questions. Go ahead.
No, well, first and foremost, I want to thank you for allowing me to be on your platform and your show. And Rashiki, thank you for being a pioneer, being a partner with my father on this mission, this journey, because I know it brings him life and it brings light to others. And you never, what's that proverb? You never dim your candles light by lighting other candles, right? And I think every week you're lighting other candles. So yeah, it's I am the pride and joy of my father and my mother, the youngest of six, bearing the same name as my father. And I simply put, I am really my team and I, we're on a mission to reshape education. I was an award-winning principal. I opened up a high school in a Los Angeles Unified School District called University Pathways Public Service Academy. I founded that high school and we're just outside of Watts in 2017. Had some great results. Had back-to-back 100% graduation rates. We had zero fights and zero suspensions during my tenure there. We graduated. Well, 90% of my students who graduated were accepted to 4-year universities. And I wrote a book called Revolutionary School Culture at that moment. It became a best-selling book. It was a bestseller, and next thing you know, found myself across the country speaking to thousands of educators, working with superintendents, helping principals kind of scale and replicate what I did in LAUSD, because we had people traveling all across the country thinking that we were a private school. Like it was really crazy. And during this time, I had this idea because most of the districts I was working with, I mean, from Department of Education in New York to LAUSD to Arizona to Detroit to Kentucky, they were having a disengagement problem specifically with Black students. And I just had this idea, and it's not a pioneering idea. I think a lot of people have always had this idea of like, why don't we provide students an opportunity to earn money while they're in school? But I want to take it a step further. So there's actually a study. I don't know, Pop, if you ever heard of this study. It's called Cash for Grades by Dr. Roland Fryer from Harvard University. He conducted this study in 2008 with about 30,000 kids across the country. And he actually gave them stipends for coming to school and getting their grades. And it happened in 2008, but the results were mixed. This study called Cash for Grades, the results were mixed, mainly not on engagement because money helped them come to school, but it was mainly on standardized tests. So it didn't show an increase in standardized tests, but if you know anything about like K-12 education, the number one way to increase standardized tests is through one-on-one private tutoring. Well, anyways, I had this idea. I said, man, what if we provided my students with an opportunity to earn money, digital assets, gift cards, sneakers, tickets to the Laker game, all these different things, but not in an analog way, through a way of using technology and software through the gamification of financial incentives. So I actually taught myself how to code, put some different tools together, and I did it at my school before I graduated. I put 50 students together and they earned like cryptocurrency and other aspects for coming to school and doing good. And everybody was like, yo, this is amazing. So, I did something crazy. I quit my job and started Knowledge, which is a learn-to-earn platform. That is the gamification of financial incentives for kids across the country. And right now, we are actually rewarding kids who are struggling to come to school. We are saying we're personalizing rewards. So it's pretty much if you like sneakers, if you like Jordans, if you like gift cards, if you like money, if you like scholarships, if you like grants, you go through a survey and then you accept challenges. And if you accept a challenge and you fulfill a challenge, you have an opportunity to run these rewards personalized to you. And the short-term rewards are like the Jordans and the sneakers and the tickets, but the long-term rewards are the scholarships and the money and the grants. And they can't get access to those long-term assets until they graduate from high school. So imagine a kid from kindergarten all the way through 12 earning $100, $200 a year worth of scholarships or grants. By the time they graduate high school, that will be saved and stored, and it will be released to them upon graduation, making it, they could have $2,400, $2,000. It's not life-changing money, but it's money that can change a kid's life. And that's what we've been building. It's been exciting. We work with 10,000 kids across the country, and to encourage more kids to get into technology. I represent less than 1% black male ed tech founders in the country. Less than 2% of founders in technology are black. Less than 1% are black males when it comes to educational technology. So that inspired me to write a book called Little City Big Dreams, which inspires kids to dream big, because it's only in school where we go and we say, you can make anything, you can do anything you put your mind to, but it's not until they get to sixth or seventh grade where you start saying you got to be realistic, and those dreams become nightmares. So we encouraging, teachers to not be dream crushers, but dream catchers. And that's what we've been building. It's been an amazing ride so far.
Okay, but didn't you have a connection to Africa? No.
Yeah, so during this journey, we're in talks with Lagos, Nigeria, and Tanzania. So Tanzania and Lagos, Nigeria, we haven't scaled there yet, just because we still want to nail our technology before we move international. But yeah, that's definitely on our roadmap. We see our technology not just being a national platform, but a global platform. And we feel like we can democratize access, which are provide more resources and access to underserved communities globally, meaning that we'd be able to filter knowledge when it comes to content and workforce development, but also filter pipelines to resources for incentives for communities in Africa, to Haiti, to, of course, the Bronx, Compton, all over.
What about the your business knowledge and the preschool you're trying to open?
Yeah, so we launched a preschool. We did our ribbon cutting for the preschool, the Compton Legacy Early Childhood Academy. And the whole point of that was, when I was a high school principal, I had many kids reading below a third grade, reading them, and a lot of kids. And it was like, oh, how did I get them to graduate and be productive citizens? But also, what was the root of the problem? And the biggest root of the problem was early childhood literacy, early childhood development. So, partnering with Dr. Sheree Montgomery, we launched Compton Legacy, but we are partnering with my technology company as well to provide incentives for preschool students based off of their parents' engagement. So, what this means is, if I'm a parent and I have my 2-year-old daughter or son attending the Compton Legacy, I can start earning my kid rewards, or my kid can start earning rewards based off of my activity of reading with them, going through parent university, learning different skills on what to do as a parent, learning their skill sets. And one of the biggest things is learning what type of learner your kid is. Like, sometimes you as a parent will be thinking that they're a kinesthetic learner, like they're learning through movement, but they may be an auditory learner, right? Like, they need like actual sounds that they perform better. So learning that with the kid, they can actually earn incentive scholarships, grants, rewards for parent activity.
Now, what does knowledge do, the organization? How is it, I mean, what is it about?
So knowledge is a technology. So it is a artificial intelligence software that personalize rewards and incentives for our users. So, give you an example. Let's say, for example, you love lotto tickets, right? Let's say you wanted to come in and get, and you could come in, take a survey, and we're going to reward you with lottery tickets. Your favorite one is whatever, the Powerball. Every week, you can earn $20 worth of Powerball tickets if you do five courses learning how to pay bills, how to use Facebook, how to use Instagram, how to apply for college, what's financial literacy. You go through those five courses, then you enter into eligibility to get $20 worth of lotto tickets every week, right? Now, you also not only get $20 worth of lotto tickets, you also may be able to get $100 of a scholarship that will be stored, saved until you graduate from high school. But, our software does that, and we partner with other organizations to provide rewards. So we pretty much has we develop a technology that scales incentives while also pinpointing what you like and incentivizing you along the way.
So, how many different school districts you got participating in your program?
Yeah, so we're with 53 schools nationwide, and we're in over seven school districts across the country.
Okay, so
But which is the largest, which are the largest, is Los Angeles Unified, which is the second largest department, New York Public Schools, which is the first, Vegas, Garland in Texas, and Newark in Jersey. And then also DC Public Schools, just signed them up.
What is the thrust of the book and Little City and Big Dreams? I mean, what is the whole concept of this animation, and who are you really trying to reach?
Yeah, so we're trying to reach students that, like I said, mainly, first off, we want to make sure that kids from Compton really understand that you can be more than a rapper and a football player, like it's or a basketball player. Like nothing against that, because I was that kid, right? I was a kid that was trying to be the rapper, was trying to be the football player, trying to be, but that's not the those are not the only ways, right? It's not the only way to not only make impact, but not only to be successful, right? There's multiple ways. And I also know that there's less than, we talk about less than 1% of Black male edtech founders. There's less than like 2% Black male educators, right? In K-12 education. So it's like, well, aside of this, the same way, well, I didn't know I could be an educator and be like that, right? I didn't know I could impact thousands and potentially millions of people being your authentic self, but being highly intellectual. So first is like, putting on for that one kid in Compton that see themselves in me to say, man, I didn't know that was possible and I can make that possible. Two is to put on for all those kids that come from little cities. Because speaking across the country, it's like I was in South Bend. I was in South Bend, Indiana. And South Bend has some similarities to Compton, right? Like they have kids that have stereotypes in Gary, Indiana, in different parts of Illinois, all over. And it's like, wait, how about you be inspired from this book? And you can come from a little city and have a big dream. And I also want to say, if you once you so a lot of people think they have a big dream, but I want to inspire them to dream bigger. Because I never, I didn't go to school to I didn't go to school for computer science. I have no computer science background. But now I'm one of the tech leaders. I'm an ed tech leader, thought leader, and I run a technology company. So this book is to highlight, dream big, and when you feel that you're dreaming big, dream bigger.
Okay, well, tell us about how you lecture or give presentations to school districts about AI.
Yeah, so I it's very important for us to be part of the conversation with technology and new cutting edge technology, because one is this is typically how it works in K-12 education. There's a kid from Harvard, Stanford, Columbia, Ivy League school that drops out of school and builds a technology platform, typically for an affluent school district, San Francisco, Silicon Valley. It does well, and then they try to say, oh my gosh, the underserved communities need access to this new great thing. And then by the time it gives access to the kids in Compton, it takes years, and we're on version one while they're on version 10, and the disparities continue to grow. Now, with AI, it's actually going to expand that, right? Right now, I'm sure everybody's heard of it. If not, I'll say it, like there's going to be close to 70 million jobs lost in the United States due to our AI and automation by 2030, right? Most of those jobs are not coming back, and there's going to be new jobs created with new skills. And those new skills are going to require our youth to know how to use these tools, these AI tools. And if we're not presenting it to our students, specifically Black students, they're gonna be left behind. Like they're gonna be left behind, and it's gonna be so far, they're gonna be so far removed that it will be the last chance we have to even close, have any attempt of closing the wealth gap. Like right now, they're in Compton. We've already done practices on the universal base income, right? They're already doing universal base income all across the country. And universal base income is a segue to a permanent welfare state, right? So when I go and speak to a lot of educators around AI, specifically for leaders teaching at Title I schools, low income students, is how do we now get students back in school? Because there's 15 million kids that are chronically absent. And how do we get them prepared for the future of work? Because if they're not, you're going to have over 20 million students unemployable in the next few years. And that's going to be a big problem with mental health and crime. So another fact I want to say just to everybody, John Hopkins University and Attendance Works have already put out attendance data. Like I said, close to 20 million students are missing over a month of school over the last 3 years since COVID. Out of those 20 million, close to 7 million are Black students. 7 million are Black students in K-12 education, but out of those 20 million, 3 million are Black students. So 3 out of the 7 million of Black students are chronically absent in our country, missing over a month of school. That means like the instruction that they're getting, they're not getting it. Just the basics, let alone the future skills. Like, and we're not screaming loud enough that we need to solve this problem, because if we don't, it's going to be bigger problems in the future. So when I go and I speak, I say, well, one, we need to really come up and come up with new solutions. And number two, we have a platform that's designed specifically for those students, right? Like I think I read not too long ago, some secondary level, even in our own in Compton Unified, was close to 60% chronically absent. That wasn't just Black students; that was just students in secondary. Like that's a problem, right? So when you think about AI, we feel that we can solve that problem by having personalized co-pilots for families and wraparound services for them as well. Because think about when you were at your heyday, Pop, like trying to get services is almost like a secret society. Like you don't even know, like you don't, some, a lot of people don't even know programs exist. We can use AI to democratize that communication for families and be able to say, hey, this is open, this is available for you. You can get on this wait list right now, and that information is straight through their phone. So that's kind of like the stuff that we're doing.
You mean, if you was to estimate how many miles you think you've traveled to provide information about knowledge or about AI or speak before professional groups? I mean, how many times you travel
I can
and
take this. I can tell you this. I left my principalship June 2022. I was traveling when I was a principal, but I wasn't with one airline, so I can't count those miles. I got with Delta August 2022, and since August 2022, I have been now my Delta miles are 360,000. 360,000 miles. So I want to say I probably solid over 400,000 miles in less than 2 years.
Now, what is your next scheduled presentation or contract?
Yeah.
I
So
mean,
this Friday, I start off with this Friday, we're doing a youth summit. We're bringing over 150 youth from 6th through 12th grade to the Beehive in South Central LA. We're teaching them artificial intelligence, gaming, esports, blockchain technology, cryptocurrency all day. After that, literally, I go to Louisiana and I'm a keynote at a conference. Then after that, I go to Newark, New Jersey, and I speak to about 200, 300 teachers. And then later on this month, I'll be in DC as a keynote, and then back to New York. So it's over the next, from now till July 15th, I'll be hitting close to 10 different states, speaking to educators and leaders around the future of work and technology.
And they solicit you to come speak.
Correct. Yep.
Okay, or your company.
Yeah, so they have, so there's two ways. One is, they hire my company and one of my facilitators will go, or they will say, we want you. Like we want you to come, right? So that these are my sessions that people specifically solicit for me, but then like members of my team are going to other areas across the country.
At the same time that you are going to different.
Oh, different, just yes, but yeah, same time, but like just different, it may be different days, but yeah.
And what's the name of your company again?
So I have two companies. The company, my technology company is called Knowledge, KNOWLEJ. KNOWLEJ. And then my consulting company where people are hiring me to speak, that's called Revolutionary Educator.
Thank you.
No problem.
Now, what about your? It just got past me. As far as how do people get the new book?
Yeah, so they it's going we're dropping the book. We're doing actually doing a box. It drops next week. So folks could get the box. It comes with a shirt, comes with little things for the user, comes with like a world. Because one of the things that you always taught me, change the world, son, don't let the world change you. Said in the book, Yeah, so we're dropping that next week, and you can get that from bigdreamseducation.com, or you can be able to go to our publisher, lightswitchlearning.com, lightswitchlearning.com, if you just want to buy the book solely. So I'm not specifically selling just the book. I'm just going to be selling the customized boxes with shirts and all the proud to be part of the membership type of thing with our boxes.
Now, how much is the box?
The box, I believe our team put a price tag of $65 on it or something like that. Yep.
Well, that's nothing. Both books are $100
I know.
in college. So
Yeah.
$65 for the
For the box.
box. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Anybody else have any questions? Brother Joe? Brother Hembrick, you there? All right, what about you then? Up there, Hembrick. There's Joe.
Yeah, I have a.
Let Joe go. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, appreciate you, young buck.
That's gonna drop next week, so that ain't live yet, Rashid.
One is the book included in the box?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, that's great. That's great what you're doing, a great work. I've always had the concept of letting kids read books and paying them, to
Yep.
read. Back in the day, me and Brother Kaleem Akil used to do that. But anyway, I don't have any questions. It's great work that you're doing. I'm not with all the technology stuff. I'm like your dad. I'm dinosaur when it comes to that stuff. But anyway, great work, and hopefully that ancient historical information, culturally and historically, can be accessed, by these kids through, your program. I'm sure you're doing something. And I'm glad it's something for us,
Yep.
always including other people in our business, and we need to work on ourselves and get our own game straight before we start opening the door to others. But anyway, appreciate you, young man.
I appreciate that. No, I appreciate that. That's a fact. We got to deal.
Linda?
Oh, yes. I had a quick question with a couple of them. The first one, you mentioned all the school districts, but I'm in Florida. So what
Okay.
about, are you have any represent parts of your team here in Florida?
You know what? We have some discussions in Florida, but we haven't landed any contracts yet. We was in talks with Miami-Dade County school. We have some connections in Jacksonville, but no, we haven't landed any contracts yet.
Not
So,
with Santos there. You ain't gonna get no contract with Santos, with
right.
that
No, all what he
governor.
does is just needed connections. That's all.
That's it. That's it. Because they struggle. They struggling to try to get kids in school up down there too.
Yeah,
And
but I don't
you
want
also
them in
mentioned
school.
that, are you working with Title I schools only? That's my next question.
Yeah, so right now we're focused on Title I schools, mainly because we want the students who need it the most to get access to us first. And so yeah, we're focused on Title I schools.
And a lot of Title I schools, community people are part of the decision making of spending the money. Yeah, so therefore you have a better shot. It's a beautiful concept because recognizing that a large percentage of the kids are in foster homes and placement homes. And so therefore the incentive is for them personally, because they may not be getting the reinforcement from those foster homes and pad, when you were coming up, your homework was checked, your homework, there was somebody there to make sure that education was a priority, even though you may have juggled it once you left the house. But the point is that you realize the importance of turning your work in on time, you realize turning it in correct and things of this nature. A lot of these kids don't have that reinforcement at home. So the incentive is saying, hey, look, man, this is on you. If you ain't got people at home asking you, what did you do your homework? Or at your place where you live, if you don't have people checking your homework, this incentive to come to school early, get tutoring, or have your teacher check your work before you turn it in. Because you want to make that money.
Yeah, we got a we got another we got another that's interesting that's starting to manifest mainly in Texas right now. Is a position in our technology be a truancy prevention software, right? So in Texas and many districts, it's like the judicial system is like you miss this amount of school, you get your truancy letter, and then like you could start getting into like the judicial system. Saying the judicial system is very punitive. So they're trying to pilot out, or they're attempting to pilot out with our software that this becomes an alternative, right? Like this becomes, all right, instead of you going to court in this, you have to participate in knowledge. And this knowledge incentive program will allow you to take these courses, get rewarded for it, and get a positive framework versus a punitive framework. So it's an interesting play that's happening that we see that be could potentially be very big for us if it works.
Can AI help people with math and science?
Absolutely. So we've already built chats specifically for AI, but I mean math, reading, lesson plans, the whole nine. Like our technology actually allows teachers to even create personalized lesson plans right within our app. So it's pretty much the dream that you can come up with can easily happen. I mean, I could, if you don't mind, I could share just real quick. If you don't mind, Rashika, can I do that real quick?
Can you share the screen with him? Rasha Key.
Yeah, let me get it. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so all right. So with like for the actual for our teachers that work with knowledge, they have access to create their own lesson plan, multiple choice assessments, worksheets, YouTube that we're building out. But I'll give you an example of the lesson plan that's created. So let's say, for example, this right here is your own AI generated lesson plan that could be created in less than 10 seconds. So let's say, for example, and this goes all the way up to university level. So even for professors, if you want to use this to create a lesson plan, you can. But let's say, for example, it was a ninth grade, or let's say a ninth grade student that was working on a world, or we can even say African American history, right?
No, what about math or science?
So we can do algebra one, right? Algebra one step equations. And then I'm just gonna put it like there real quick, and then it generate. And then you will quickly have a lesson plan generated within our platform that you can download, send it to whoever. It tells you the materials you need, tells you the warm up, tells you the direct instruction, tells you the guided practice, independent practice, the closure assessment. Eventually, when we go back, we're building our custom chat bots. You'll be able to go to a YouTube. So even if you have this video and you have it on YouTube, you'll be able to put the link in and then create a whole worksheet or activity from the YouTube link straight from our platform.
That's for teachers or students?
This is for the teacher side for us.
What about for students?
So the student side is for our learn to earn side. Let me put it up real quick. Let me log out real quick. Hold on. So for the student side, let me pull this up real quick for you so you can see all the stuff for the students in our library of kind of resources. Hold on. All right, here we go. Oh, wait, hold on. Come on, 1 second. Let me. So our learn to earn right now is like, for example, you have K through second. We have a whole library from cartoons to, oh man, and what is it? We have, let's say, for example, what scientists does, right? So we have financial literacy, AI chatbots for math. So students can go through this, learn financial literacy, what is science, take a quiz, and then they're automated with gift cards and their portfolio for whether it be Bitcoin, money, scholarships, and grants. So, and these are like our type of reward partners. So let me go and see the type of rewards we have that's available right now. Our rewards are always changing, so based off of the partners that we get. So these are some of the rewards that we have. So we have Sony headphones, Apple gift card, Best Buy. We have Nintendo Switches, Apple AirPods, PlayStation 5s, speakers. So I'll give you an example. So let's say a student wants a pair of Jordans. They will go here, they will click within their platform, and then they will learn for their school how they can win a pair of sneakers. And they go and learn more, and then how they can earn is right here. So how they can earn their sneakers is attend every class session, actively participate in class, complete assigned quizzes, and they have to be able to have a passing score on all their quizzes on our platform, and they can claim the reward.
Wow, that's
So
really thought out well, motivating. How many schools do you think you got signed up for that program nationwide?
every school nationwide, our goal is to, by the end of this school year, be over 200.
Okay, but about how many now?
53. We're with 53.
Okay, all right, that's good. Roshki, you have any questions?
Oh no, man, just keep up the great work. The revolutionary school culture is really in effect. And
I
that's
appreciate it.
good, and we need it badly, just like you was talking about with the black kids. We really need it in the absentee problems that we have. We really need it.
It's bad. It's bad. It's pretty bad across the country.
But we've always had that problem throughout our history. And it comes all the way back to.
May I ask a
Now,
question?
economic reasons, lack of parental consciousness and awareness of where their kids are and what they're doing, and young people that think they can make it without education through hustling and other stigmas. And then you have young kids at an early age drinking, and especially in high school, in middle school. It's a rough situation, but how do you develop a consciousness for the kid that don't want to learn to want to learn? It's like teaching kids that start off won't do nothing, and how you get them to do something. And it takes a lot of coaching. Encouragement and incentives is one of the key things to turn some kids around. Some kids you're not going to reach. That's just
That's a fact. That's a fact. And this is not a silver bullet. This is not a silver bullet. This is not for everything. This is also, I want to say this is like you have motivation and then you have inspiration, right? You like motivation is short term. You know, sometimes I'm not, you know, what like when I was bodybuilding, I was inspired, right? And like sometimes you can be motivated, but motivated is like, oh, I'm motivated to go to the gym. But when you're inspired, you can go when you don't want to go, right? Like, because you're gonna be inspired to do it and finish. So like in education, it's like the incentives helps with the short term motivation, but we need the actual curriculum, we need the relevance, we need the wraparound services to keep kids inspired, you know, and keep hope. As not just a lie that they tell themselves, like actual hope that's real.
Rasha Key, you have another question? Rasha
No,
Key, what about you, Linda?
yes. Well, Rashid, I go right after him.
Well, I was going to say we are we the incentives. I think we have to do more of what you're doing. And also other platforms like ours that we have, and we have to get people to, even adults need to do some changing. If we can get some adults to change and to join in on just revolutionary, you know, lifestyles. We need to change our lifestyles. We have a lifestyle, a lot of us, that doesn't make sense. You know, we live a very As people, we live a very contradictory life. And so we really, you know, what you're doing is excellent. I think what we're doing is excellent, and we just got to grow it. It's got to grow. And I'm glad you're doing the technology because we gonna have to come hang out with you sometime to get some lessons.
No,
So
I got you.
yeah, so it's a good thing. It really is.
Well, what about
I think Linda, I don't know if Linda had
yeah,
something. Oh,
Linda?
yes, I do. And thank you for saying that, Roger Key, about incentives. And I'm going on the other spectrum when you talk about the schools. Now, I know the earn to learn that you were talking about with the children. And when you do this with the public schools, what the incentives do they have? Do they get a percentage of, let's say they purchase so many books, do they get a percentage of that or the boxes?
Yeah, so really, like our motto is mainly focus on chronically absent, the most disengaged students right now. So I'll give you an
Right.
example. Let's say you were a principal, and you as a principal of a school with 1,000 kids, then you probably, based off of the national average, 30% of your kids are just like you don't even know where they at. They're not coming. They're inconsistent. So you have a solid 300 kids that you're like, help me. Like, I don't know where they at. They're coming to school, they're coming missing, all this. So you'll partner with Knowledge and we'll say, okay, let us work with those 300 students. And it's $100 per kid for us to be able to
Right.
work with them. And that's so that would be a $30,000 contract that we help re-engage students, get on our platform, incentivize them, provide mental health services, all those different things. And it actually saves you money. Depending on what state you're in, because like in California, we lose $50 a day for every time a kid misses, right? $50 a day, and the average chronically absent student is missing close to 20 days. So that's $1,000 per kid that you lose. If you based off of that number with 1,000 kids, 300 kids in California, you losing close to $300,000 of next year for those chronically absent students.
Right.
Let's see.
And
And
the reason why I was asking is because I had a Black Authors Virtual Book Fair, and at first, I my target market were schools that were independent schools, and how I really got people going is I said, well, look. For every book that you buy from an author, the school got so much money. So and then I had an overflow. And that's why I was mentioning that to you.
No, I like it. I like it. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But absenteeism is different in public high schools and middle schools. And the absenteeism has really escalated when Latinos came in. And the reason why, because their parents may take them back to Mexico and don't tell the school for 20 days and then come back. Second, they drop out of one school and go register for another school and don't tell the other school that they didn't drop out. So they're still on the absentee list.
Correct.
There's a lot of things that go with the chronic absenteeism. So that's why tracking students is very important. And knowing where they live and who's responsible for them and having a contact with them, whereas they communicate with the schools, when they're going to be absent. It's not important. When we used to go to school, if you'd be absent, you had to bring a note that you went to the doctor when I was in school. You understand? Second, during the 50s and 60s, you didn't have a bunch of chronic absences from people just disappearing. In those days, before birth control, girls got pregnant, they dropped out. Cats got girls pregnant, they dropped out to get a job when they could find labor and refinery work. But today, you have a whole new different perspective of kids not going to school to go to their friend's house to play games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then their parents don't even know or don't even care.
Yeah.
That's more. I mean, and I think you had a program to give incentives to parents.
Yeah, so we're gonna be doing we're our mission is to bring learn to earn opportunities to school communities across the world. So that's teachers, leaders. We're just starting with students, and we're starting with chronic absenteeism, but that's not our only mission. Like, that's just our go to market. That's just what, like, in education you have, like, and it's also we got to understand this is a business too, right? So you
Right.
also have to look at what is the mosquito bite versus the shark bite in education. Like, the mosquito bite is like everybody's like, hey, we need to teach kids financial literacy, but unfortunately, as a principal. Most principals, unfortunately, can care less because they really like, especially if they're struggling with chronic absenteeism, safety, behavior, English scores, and math scores, they don't care about no financial literacy program. They're like, I just need kids to read basic and come to school and not tear the place up, right? Like, they're trying to get the basics. So we're coming in saying, well, okay, we're going to help you with the basics, one of the basics. In exchange, we're going to teach them virtually. And reward them for the things we know, right? So essentially, we're in partnership where knowledge is this virtual school that we're building in partnership with K-12 schools across the world.
All right. All right. Any other questions?
Okay, I promise this is my last one. But
Oh.
are you familiar with Chika Okoye, Teacher Transformation? And he goes around the country
Yeah,
teaching.
it was actually I was a speaking at a conference and we were both at the same conference. We ran across each other. I don't know him very well. I was at Columbia University and he was just there speaking. I was one of the keynotes.
Okay, awesome. I'm going to give your dad his number, his cell phone number.
No doubt.
I'll pass it on to you.
Okay, Brother Mashinda, he hasn't had a chance to ask any questions.
Brother Mashinda, are you there?
Right here.
Go ahead, brother.
No, I don't really have any questions. Well, one question is well, I want to commend Brother Ra. Again, he was on before, and it's outstanding what you're doing, much needed. I want to know, is there it with your program, like the 300 students, or like you mentioned 1,000, and we're going to hit that 300. It, do you guys offer like any kind of guarantee or some kind of benchmark that you like say at least maybe we guarantee at least 60% of your students will fall in line or what have you. Is there any kind of guarantee or some kind of, something that you come up with?
No, nah, we don't do no guarantees, man.
Right.
because you could put anything. If you've ever been inside of school, the real thing is with the people. I don't care if you what technology you have. Like, the people makes the system. Like, our technology helps automate rewards and do all that, but if you don't got good people in your building and using this tool, like, we're the hammer, we're the nail, but you are still the human that gotta nail it, right? You gotta because you're with the kids every day. Like, we just built the software to help you. So, and then one thing, it's also, I always go back to business. If you're a business and you're throwing out guarantees, that's one of the first things that's going to get you out of business. You know what I mean? Because as soon as that guarantee stop, you know what I mean? It's now, oh, you got a faulty product. So we don't put guarantees, but we do say that, yo, this is a tool that's going to help you incentivize kids to come back to school. Because the last thing I want to do is put our company to say, oh yeah, we're going to guarantee you decrease in 30%. Now, I can't really guarantee that. If you're a school that does that, but what I can guarantee is that you got a software and the technology is going to work, right? And that you'll be able to have these tools. But we don't guarantee numbers, unfortunately.
Right. Well, and I mean, you already have a, like you say, you've already worked in and created where you were at and Watts and also other school districts that you're working with. You have a proven product. And I bet, like, so of course it speaks for itself. Like you say, everybody, depends on the buy-in, and, so where are you going to be speaking at in Louisiana?
I'll be in New Orleans. I'll be in New Orleans at the Hyatt Convention Center, speaking there as a keynote for the National School Board Association Conference.
Okay, when is that? Can you tell me?
June. I'll be there. I mean, sorry, not June. April 7th. I speak April 7th.
Oh, wow, around the corner. Okay, okay. All right.
So I
At the
fly
Hyatt in New Orleans.
high in New Orleans. Yep.
Got you. Okay. Well, look, man, keep up the good work. I'm proud of you, and to say the least, but it's a much needed thing, and I don't have any more questions. I read your energy loud and clear.
All right. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have one.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, brother. I know you go through the schools or districts and whatnot, but is there any way that a parent or some can access the program, although you're not at that particular school?
Yeah, so we're not there yet. We do have on our roadmap getting there eventually. And the main reason why was for the kids we wanted to service first. We were like, how are we gonna get them? How are we gonna, one, make revenue, and two, provide them with service? I mentor a lot of entrepreneurs that like try to work with, underserved families, and they provide a solution or a product that's a solution for underserved families, but the family don't have all the money to pay for the product. So then they eventually turn into a nonprofit to try to go and get other people to pay them so they can still provide the solution. So for me, I was like, well, I already understand the school system. How about we get the schools to pay for the kid to get the service versus the parent? You know what I'm saying? So the parent just had to be involved with the school to get this. So we go to parents when they say we want, well, we just say, well, why don't you just give us an introduction to your principal or your school so they can purchase it. You don't need to purchase it. Like, it's enough money in education where they can purchase it. Like in California, I don't know what state you're in, but like in New York, I think it's like $19,000 per kid per pupil. I think in LA it's like 14,000, something like that. Right, we
And
just
then
saying I've never.
also, excuse me, your churches and your fraternities and sororities, they all have educational departments and they
Correct.
all sponsor children and families.
Exactly. Right. So we just saying, yo, sponsor, provide from a third party. If it's a school, if it's a nonprofit, if it's just another organization, if it's the NFL, sponsor the kid for $100 to be able to participate in our platform, and that's $100 a year, right? So. That's kind of like our approach versus like, because the kids who most need it, and more than likely, if they Title I, their parents ain't kind of like that $100 can go somewhere else. Like, I'd rather the $800 go to something else that they need, you know what I mean? Versus to us.
So, Okay, if I'm understanding this, so a parent, if they wanted their kid in it, they couldn't pay the $100 and get the services that you're talking about?
Nah, not right now. Not with us, not right now. Nope. Yeah.
Any other questions? All right, Rashi G, tell us about next week. I mean, tomorrow.
All right. Let's see what we got going tomorrow. We have Melvin Mercer Jr. is coming. Let me show everybody. Okay. Gotta pull it up here. That's not mine. Maybe. Oh. Here it is. All right. Melvin Mercer Jr., licensed clinical social worker. He asked the question, I'm well when? When am I well? Maintaining our mental wellness. That's the topic for tomorrow. Melvin Mercer Jr., it's his second time coming on.
Well, that's a good thing. We need mental illness issues.
Yep.
Let me think. I think I have Dr. Sheree Montgomery coming on talking about the literacy, the child care center and mental illness. All right, next Tuesday.
So
All
it's
right.
not Jabal's not coming on?
Well, but Jabal's supposed to come on the ninth. I'll call him and make
Okay.
sure. All right.
All right. All
Take care.
right.
And thank you, Principal.
All right.
Conscious Corner, each one teach one.
All right then.
Thank you guys. Have a good one.
All right.
All right.
Do the same.